good evening. And I'm not sure I'm seeing you guys before the year ends, so let me just say Merry Christmas in advance. You never know. I know, look, you know what, I keep driving down here, I keep seeing all the lights and everything, and it was just beautiful. And I walk in here and I'm like, wow, you guys have started early. Best of the festive seasons. Father Lord, I just thank you for this wonderful family, and thank you for this time together. May you, Lord, open the counsel of your word to us as we look into what it means to be hopeful in a world that is filled with despair in this season, that we can be the light, we can be the hope that others are looking for, especially with all the programs that we've also have put together and planned towards the festive season. We just pray that we are able to lift up the spirits of this community and families that might have struggled throughout the year. So Lord, we bless you and we thank you for this time. Amen.
Amen.
So Dean, once again, thank you for putting together this Advent program for December. It says, well, living with hope today in a world of despair, Christ gives us living hope that cannot fail. And the scripture verse I'll be reading from is 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 5. And I read, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And the question I ask is, what does this mean for us? But before we explore that, let's explore how those before us understood this. And if you've got your Bibles, let's just turn to Isaiah 53. I'll read a few verses from there. I'm not reading the whole thing because it's quite long. Isaiah 53, and this was Isaiah's vision. And here Isaiah starts off by saying, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And when we read this scripture, which is a revelation that Isaiah received, it was talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure at this point when Isaiah is reading all of these things or expressing what he has seen, many people would have wondered what's going on here. Because some of the details in Isaiah 53 are gruesome. They are sad. You wonder, is this a story being foretold of someone to come? But Isaiah tells us, and every time I read this scripture, one of the verses that always catches my attention is verse 10, where it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed," which is us today. "He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I would divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong." And anytime I read this scripture, I think the first time I stumbled on this verse, I was like, what does this mean? How is Jesus being spoken about concerning all of these things? And one of the verses that was a verse of encouragement to me was from Hebrews, I think Hebrews 12 verse 2, where it says that, "Yet for this joy." And I'm like, how is Jesus joyful about such a thing? You know, it gave him so much hope that he was coming to rescue the world. He was going to pay a debt that he wouldn't have to come back again any longer. He would do it for once and for all. And so Jesus, hearing all of these things, knowing that he's coming down, he's going to lose his form, he's going to lose his divinity and all of that, it gave him joy. And I would like to feel this thing? What did he feel to want to come and go through all of these things where he relinquishes his heavenly power, his ability to be omnipotent, omnipresent, his ability to do all these wonderful things? And in the midst of all of that, because of the fulfillment of this promise, which then we can stand in such hope that there is life after all of this, Jesus can say, you know what, I'll give it all up. Where he will say, my kingdom is not of this world. Where he will stand before the king and they will say all sorts of things before him and he will gladly just keep quiet. When you read Isaiah 53, it tells you about the sheep being sent to the shepherds, and it's just amazing. And I'm like, I don't know. But if only the world, especially for those who do not know Christ and what he has done, will come to terms to this wonderful thing that Jesus did. Many times I say it's like a credit card with unlimited balance that you don't have to even pay back on. You know, all you need to do is spend. And sometimes you're begging people to spend out of it. You know, but when we look at the rest of the verse in 1 Peter, verse 1, 3 to 5, which is continuing from verse 6, I'll read it all to verse 12. It says, this is Peter's expression. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets, which is something I just referred to, which is Isaiah, one of them, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Can you imagine? We are told that the angels would desire to look into such great visions, such great prophecies. Peter speaks highly of God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If not for his love and mercy, we wouldn't be here today. Declaring the message of hope when we were first born, all that we had could be referred to as dead hope. Born to die. But through the resurrection of Jesus, there is a better future on the horizon for you and I. His resurrection guarantees inheritance. In today's society, there is more bad news going around than there is hope. And the word of God does an amazing thing to each of us. I watched someone's video saying about challenging people to go and watch the budget, the recent budget. And how it's challenging to read the budget and what's coming. But you know what? For us who are in Christ, the budget doesn't matter. God will always provide. Today I heard the scriptures spoken about Elijah and how the ravens brought meat and bread. And Pastor Michael jokingly said that was the first ever Uber delivery. And one that did not need a postcode, one that did not need a GPS, but yet Elijah was found and he was fed meat and bread, you know, and that was God promising him that he will feed him. And that was God giving him a message to say, you know what, until the oil runs out and the flour, they will not run out until the rain comes. And if there was no resurrection, all these things would make no sense or have no impact. We won't be here, no proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter what happens, can I say these words? Let us remain consistent in what we do. But beyond that, the word of God remains consistent. The word of God is unchangeable. And there are promises in there. It will not come back void to him until it has accomplished that which he has sent it for. There is hope when we allow the one who sits in eternity manage and determine how we use our time on earth in living out our kingdom mandate and purpose. You see, church, one of the things that has given me hope in recent time is that God lives in eternity. What I am left with here is time. And it keeps running. It doesn't stop. But God lives in a space where he is not limited by time. And so it does not take him eternity to do that which is eternal. And so for me, I would rather maybe spend 10 days with him trying to deal with a situation than try to deal with it by myself and fail woefully. Because he's got it all in his hands. What does the message of hope offer us believers in the world? One of the things, I go to my point, is that our God is alive. We know we serve and worship and relate with a living God. He's not dead. He speaks to us. You know, when you speak to other people who worship other things, they don't receive any form of any of such revelation. You were speaking earlier on about how you pray and God interrupts your prayer and shows you how you have to pray. This is the God that we serve. He's given us eternal promises. He says, we are promised an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Reasons being, they are kept in heaven, where moth and rust can't destroy and where thieves can't break in and steal. Church, our inheritance cannot be taken away. And I just wrote this side note. Have you ever made a hotel reservation only to discover that the hotel had no record of it? Really? I heard someone say yes. When you showed up, the hope here is that that won't happen with this kind of reservation because it is kept in heaven. No one can take it. It won't be lost. It can't be hacked out of God's heavenly system. And my final point here is God's love. God loves us. And one verse that is so encouraging here is Romans 8, 38 to 39. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me just read that to you again. And I want you to be persuaded tonight. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers. You can begin to add those other things that you think can separate you from the love of Christ. Nor things present, nor things to come. So literally, this scripture is saying, those that you are walking in now and those that are yet to even happen, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Church, the purpose of trials is to see if you believe what you say you believe. If you are here today, and because of life circumstances, you have given up on Jesus, may I just encourage you to have a conversation with him. Go back to him. Maybe it might not be someone here, but you might know someone. Can you give them a call or send them a text and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them and introduce them to this hope for which we are able to live despite the challenges of life. Amen. Church, thank you. And right now, I just want to pray. especially for the things we are doing for the festive season. That the Lord will grant us the grace to be able to minister to people who are in despair. The Lord will grant us the discernment to be able to journey with people who are struggling. The Lord will give us the capacity to be able to carry the weights of others and bring before the Father, that we can lay them at His feet, that we can go above and beyond our plans for this Christmas and give to others who have nothing for themselves this Christmas. And as we observe Advent, may we be the light in the darkness. May we be the hope that others are looking for. Today, I stand here and I just want to say that with all that is going on in the world, the least we can offer people is love. It will cost nothing. No judgment, no criticisms, love. If you begin to reflect on the entire year, are there things you need to love more? Are there people you need to love more and show them Jesus? Are there people you also need to forgive and let go of the wrongs that they've done and not hold on to the things that they've done to you? That as you begin the new year, which is to come shortly, you are not holding on to any of these things. So my final words tonight is, in love and forgiveness, may we go in all that we do for the rest of the year and the year ahead of us. Amen.